the three different services we have this week. Yesterday's batch, yesterday's people got to hear from Kuya Gary. You guys are gonna blessed to hear from Kuya Alvin. And the group that's coming in after you will be hearing from Brother Philip. So, and this is all because, you know, we want to share with you what we learned from the recent conference we went to at T4G in Kentucky. That's why we're doing this. So hopefully, you know, Kuya Alvin is not that nervous. It's okay. Everybody looks happy today, but it's a full house. So I didn't think it was going to be this full, but it is. So it's nice to have you guys, and hope you will be blessed by this morning's message from Kuya Alvin.
Yeah, first of all, praise God that my wife and I were talking this morning. Oh, don't be nervous, because there will be only a few, maybe the second mile. It's just like a second mile fellowship. Oh, okay. Yeah. But as Pastor said, but praise God, and I commend the members to come as early as 9. That we are not, of course, used to it. We come here at 9:30 at the earliest every Sunday. But thank you for especially the prayers of Brother Ramir. Thank you, and for the worship team, and of course, the next is thank you for the choir. And this morning is yeah, it's really hard. I thought it's just like reporting. I might as well just show a video of one of the speakers. It's really like to reflect some of the sermons, and somehow share it with you, and praying to God that it will be somehow be an encouragement again and a reminder. And in fact, this today's message or sermon is just a reminder by the Apostle Peter to the chosen people of God. So as I've said, and Pastor mentioned that we were at the T4G for, this is my second year. We were there like 2 years ago, and it was quite a blessing for us, right? And like Brother Gary has mentioned about free books. So that's a blessing. And then the food, the all-you-can-eat Kentucky, Pastor has mentioned, I ate all more. Because that's the only chance that I can eat the all-you-can-eat. We don't have here, right? We asked why in Canada we don't have the all-you-can-eat Kentucky. I don't know if I overheard. You Canadians, you eat more. So the it's not advisable to put the all-you-can-eat, or else the business will be down. And what a blessing also is our brethren, five of us, and I have the luxury to just eat the breakfast. We buy some food just to save some money. It's good too, because we have the kitchen at home, right? Yeah, thankful. Brother Ramir, Brother Philip, Brother Gary, always cook. Pastor and I just sleep and then wake up and then no. But they're like good cooks. That's a blessing for us to have these brethren who really prepare good breakfast for us at home before going. Yeah, but now we come to the message, and let us bow our heads in prayer again. Yes, our dear God and Heavenly Father, thank you, Father God, for this morning, the opportunity again to worship you, to be with you, with the presence with our brethren, and of course, Father God, before your throne of grace, I ask, Father God, for your wisdom, and guard my thoughts, my lips, Father God, that your word will be preached, and be an encouragement to all of us, Father God, not only for leaders, but for all of us, Father God. We just commit the rest of this night, this morning, Father God, this service to you, and ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that you move freely in our midst. Thank you, and we bring back all the praises and honor to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today's text will be on 1 Peter. 1:13-16. When I was reading this, the text is about when you use the ESV, the subtitle is like called to be holy. But when I went to check it as a reference on the New King James Version, it says living before God, our Father, or like living a holy life before a holy God, our Father. So there was a question about when you see this, the text today in 1 Peter chapter 1:13-16, there's a question about what does the Bible say about holiness and what does it mean to be holy? So, of course, when I check this the text, primarily in verse 16, when the Apostle Peter quoted the Old Testament book of Leviticus, particularly Leviticus 11:44 and 19:2, so it says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." It seems there's like on our part, it's a Christian living. On the other part, for I'm holy, it's more of a doctrine about God, right? So there will be like the holiness of God. So it's like two sermons, but we'll be primarily emphasizing the first part. You shall be holy, for I am holy. But let's look at God's holiness first. I'll just quote some verses that pertains. What does it mean that God is holy? So there's one in 1 Samuel 2:2. When we read on 1 Samuel 2:2, it says there is none holy like the Lord. For there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. And also it was mentioned in Isaiah 6:3. And one called to another and said, he's one of the cherubim speaking, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So these are just two of many examples of passages about God's holiness. And another way to say it, it's absolute perfection on the part of God. And also in Psalm 40, verse 5, he is high above any other, and no one can compare to him. In Psalm 40, verse 5, "You have multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told." So God's holiness pervades his entire being and shapes all his attributes. His love is a holy love, his mercy is holy mercy, and even his anger and wrath are holy anger and holy wrath. These concepts are difficult for humans to grasp, just as God is difficult for us to understand in his entirety. Now, next question, what does it mean for us to be holy? I think there is like somehow, Brother Gary has mentioned this about legalism. And one of the preachers have mentioned in his message about the title is Citizens of Heaven. We are in the world, but not of the world. But here he says that he mentioned about in the world today, he mentioned about moralism. It's according to him, and I quote from Matt Chandler, one of the speakers in that conference, "Moralism is a belief that you can earn the favor of God or be accepted by God, be it a moral behavior. So it depends on our, it's like legalism is do this, don't do that, right? So that's how he defined the moralism. But on the other hand, legalism, when I look on the dictionary, it's a strict adherence to law. So here, the Apostle Peter explain it in this text. Later on, we'll see how this differ from legalism or moralism. So what does it mean for us to be holy? So again, when God told Israel to be holy in Leviticus 11, chapter verse particular 44 and 19, verse 3, he was instructing them to be distinct from the other nations. As you can see, we have, we hope that we have this, Pastor has this also, Brother Amir. These were given. Every year they gave this, like last year, 2 years ago, the theme is about reformation. And for those who remember that we got the privilege also to preach on about reformation. And now this year, they choose this theme, distinct from the world. Pastor told us, don't remove that. The last time, 2 years, he used it while taking a bath also. Now it's erased. So distinct from the world, the theme that they have used. So I was trying to so this pastor is, we are in the world, but not of the world. How can we be now in our days today, in our society today, how can we be distinct from the world? So that's exactly what our Lord God told Israel when he used that Leviticus. And mind you, when you read this one, there's also this distinction among the chosen people, among the other nations. So he said he was instructing them to be distinct from the other nations by giving them specific regulations to govern their lives. So Israel is God's chosen nation, and God has set them apart from all other people groups. Mind you, that word set them apart, when I check the meaning of holy, it says set apart for God's service. But some they use pure heart, godly. But I think the right word is the holy. The word that we are using, biblical meaning, is set apart for God's service. So he said there, Israel, God's chosen nation, God has set them apart from all other people groups. They are his special people. Now, Brother Gary has mentioned yesterday, he chose that in 1 Peter chapter 2, it's a peculiar, special nation, special people. So, they are his special people, and consequently, they were given standards that God wanted them to live by, so the world would know they belong to him. When Peter repeats the Lord's words in 1 Peter 1:16, in our text, he's talking specifically to believers. As believers, we need to be set apart from the world unto the Lord. So as I mentioned, we are in the world, but not of the world. We need to be living by God's standards, not by the world's standards. God isn't calling us to be perfect, but to be distinct. You see, that's why it's really hard. And I'm saying, standing here, that I remember in grade 6, you know GMRC? I remember. Pastor, I asked him, he didn't remember. I think he went there grade age 11. So I think he did not take the... Before you graduate on the elementary level, right? We have grade 1 to grade 6. I remember our teacher will tell us, you're good in math, you're good in your other subjects, your like academic subjects like English, math. But if you fail your GMRC, the good manners and right conduct, you will not graduate. So it goes into our mind. So every time, so that's why I'm telling the holy is not having a halo. So like when the teacher comes, we're like holy with a halo. The teacher, so we should be, because we will not pass the GMRC, the good manners and right conduct. We should be quiet. Because I was shy before. Then become talkative. So, but those who are talkative, when their teacher come, so again, holy with the halo. So like, but you see, we are dictated. I remember also Matt Chandler with the message. It caught me. He says, now we are, instead of being discipled by the word of God, we are discipled by the word. So that's another thing that I got from that conference. So again, as believers, we need to be set apart from the word unto the Lord. We need to be living by God's standards, not the word. God isn't calling us to be perfect, but to be distinct from the word. So also 1 Peter 2:9, that's as mentioned, that Brother Gary described believers as a holy nation, a peculiar people. It is a fact. We are separated from the word. We need to live out that reality on our day-to-day lives, which Peter tells us how to do now in our text, 1 Peter 13:16. So now, we go now to the text. It says here, I'll just read through, and then you can follow. I'll just read all the only four verses, and then pray to God that we're done. So therefore, preparing your minds for action, this I'm reading from the ESV, but on the screen, I also check it on the New King James Version. So I chose the word, and later on, I hope it will encourage us. And so therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, mark that adjective, obedient children, do not be conform, again, mark that word, conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it's written, so again, the Apostle Peter quoted this in Leviticus 11:44, you shall be holy, for I am holy. First, when I look in the King James Version, the word was used, gird up the loins of your mind. And here, preparing your minds for action. So preparing. So it's always in, what you call it, passive. So actually, we're talking always the progressive sanctification, right? So give up the loins of your mind. So here, the author used this in the New King James. Just as people in biblical times would gather up their long robes and tie them around their waist so that they could move quickly and freely. Can you imagine? Imagine this. I can see nowadays, I think, I don't know if they imitate this. You see, especially the young people, they have jacket. They have their, special winter, they have this, hood, jacket. And sometimes they will remove it. They will, are they throwing it? Where they put it? Just to move freely. they tuck it here, right? In their waist. So I think, I don't know, there's no concept. Just to move freely, quickly, they walk. You see, they tie it here. Even the girls, the boys, you name it, right? They have this. So just to... So, and then, when you read preparing your minds for action, right? So if you act, action, you have to want to be free, right? Preparing, right? So here, it says here, we need to do whatever it takes to focus our thoughts on those things that allow us to serve God successfully, all the while eliminating any thoughts that would trip us up. So in Hebrews 12:1, what it says in Hebrews 12:1? Therefore, I'll start in verse 1 and then 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, we cannot live like holy lives based on God's standards when we have clinging on some sin in our lives, and we are like also somehow we are being traditions, we are influenced by our traditions, right? I remember, I don't know, every Good Friday, again, being holy, right? Some they don't take a bath, right? The physically, right? So, some tradition, in the traditions, right? So, but that's not being holy, right? So, here it says, in that verse, preparing your minds for action, the change of mind. And then next is being sober-minded. Sober-minded, when I look on the dictionary again, I always check because our first language is not English, right? So I always check the dictionary. The sober there, if you check, is temperate, moderate. When I see drunk, so what is drunk? I asked Brother Jesse. So, yeah, sometimes they use this sober drunk, but not literal. But here, sober-minded is that we have sound, says here, Peter's concern is primarily using mentally and spiritually sound judgment, as also in 1 Peter 5:8. When we read 1 Peter 5:8, it says here, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So being sober, spiritually, mentally sound judgment. I think Brother Gary mentioned it. Sometimes we have to use our spiritual sound judgment. Let's say somebody caught you, right? In the 401 while driving, right? So now we have to really pray to God, like your judgment, right? It's sober, your temperate, moderate mind. Are you going to again run after that guy or person? Or so same thing with our Brother Gary mentioned about this also, evil thoughts, rendering evil thoughts to somebody, right? So you have to really watch our mind. So next is set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Or in the King James Version again, you stress your hope. We need to exhibit confidence that God will accomplish all that He promised He would do. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Here, when I look on the this text, when you read the chapter 1 on the first part before reaching, it says here, you know, I have learned a lot from our pastor. When I'm not used to like an expository type of message, but I'm trying to learn through our pastor. I was telling him this morning, when you read through this text, actually, the apostle Peter, the author, of course, the author of this letter, writes to Christians living in Asia Minor and the present-day Turkey that Brother Gary mentioned it yesterday. So by the way of encouragement, he identifies them as people who live in the light of their relationship to God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. That's what's mentioned in you see, when we read this in verse 1, Peter, apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elected exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. So now it says, therefore, this is now the, let's call it the progressive sanctification. He challenges the people of God to now have this in mind in 13 to 16. So in verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So again, in New King James, he used the not conforming yourselves as obedient. So when you see, when I read this, be ye holy, it's a command. So it requires obedience, right? Be you holy, or you shall be holy, for I am holy. So he said, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So believers should not pattern their lives after the desires that controlled them when they were not Christians, when they did not know God's ways. So here, I believe this, it's not really when a person came to know Christ, it's not really at first the outward. We were discussing this, Pastor and I, in the conference and the rest of. Are you expecting, let's say, a person got born again? Do you expect this person, like sometimes, you will hear a lot of testimonies, right? Some former life, they will say, my former life was this. I was smoking, drinking, partying. I remember me. That's why I like the word, not we are in the word, but not of the word. My wife knows this. I love to go to disco. Like our quote before, when I was a teenager, you're like, forgive me, those who are not. We always say, you're in the in, right? I like in the in. So it means you are in the Word, right? Before I was in the in. But when I got born again, my father was the first who noticed it. Why your desire of going to disco is no more? Like, of course, nowadays, sometimes I tend to dance because of Apo wants to dance. So, but no, it's not really outward. It's like inward, right? They say here, the desire. I think when you got born again, God will remove those desire. It's inward, the character, right? Inward. Outward, sometimes some people, that's why you cannot judge, right? Some people, that's why this is progressive sanctification. You have to pray and the desire to be changed, right? To be changed by. So remember, in, now when I got born again, I'm sorry, I felt I'm out na out. Translated to Brother Jesse and sister. No, I was like, I used to be in, like into the disco, right? But now when I got born again, I felt like already out of doing this thing, right? So in, then I become out na. So when my father noticed, because we attended my uncle's, like, why I don't know why my uncle who was in Alberta went back to the Philippines to celebrate. And mind you, I remember Eduardo's. He rented the Eduardo's, and there's a disco there, right? Eduardo. Name it, I've been in La Cueva, all those disco houses in Metro Manila, right? So then my father noticed that I just sitting there. Why you're like out of place already. You should be in that. So I think this is also conforming, right? This obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. That's like my passion, right? You have those passions of worldly passions. Like, that's why in Ephesians, I think, it says there the desires. Get rid of your desires, the old desires, or the fleshly. But by the grace of God, I'm not saying that it's an easy for us believers, but that's why we really have to be grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, as I mentioned, the conclusion here. May I ask Brother Jesse? I have to conclude. Again, I cannot get rid of the acronyms, the DNA. This is the conclusion. But before that, I want Brother Jesse to plus that RC is pro. I took this, we have said that we have received a lot of free books. But of course, we want to get more so we can give to 100 or so, but we cannot do that. Actually, they're allowed only two. But these are one of the books that R.C. Sproul wrote, and it's titled Holiness of God by R.C. Sproul. And I was scanning it. I haven't read it through, but when I was scanning it, this. So the whole says there in the book of R.C. Sproul, but we are not God, we are not transcendent, we are certainly not pure. How then can the Bible possibly call us holy ones? And then to answer that question, you must look back to the Old Testament. When God led Israel out of bondage in Egypt and made them a special nation. He set them apart. He called them his chosen people and gave them a special commission. He said to them, be holy because I am holy. Ours is pro. So what is the DNA? As believers, holy people of God, Christ, in Christ, we have a so-called DNA. D, says here D, dedicated or devoted. We are to live so as to be dedicated totally to God and separated totally from the sin of this world. And non-compromising or non-conformity. As in Romans that we have mentioned in Romans 12:2 again. Romans 12:2. I will read again in Romans 12:2. So non-compromising or non Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And last is A, accountable. In Romans 14:10, for we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. And continuing in verse 12, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So again, here, the Apostle Peter exhorted us, since it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Let us pray.